Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. I'm actually trying something a little new today. This is Freddie T., pastor and church planter of Real Life Sango. And I heard about a guy recording podcasts in his car the other day. And I just thought, wow, what a great way to redeem the time. So, right now, I'm driving down Madison Street. I just left Plumline Coffee, and I'm headed home. It's Wednesday. Jack has a doubleheader baseball game tonight. I'm going to get home, load him up, take him out to Rich Ellen. That's what's going on. But I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about the people that are attending Real Life Sango. I'm thinking about the people that are considering attending Real Life Sango. I'm thinking about all of Sango, all of Clarksville, all of Montgomery County, and really people in the surrounding counties, because I believe God has called us to plant a church that's going to impact even the surrounding counties around Montgomery County. And so, anyway, so just a thank you for dialing in today. And would you just pause right now where you are and pray that prayer? God, would you use Real Life Sango to touch not only Montgomery County, but the surrounding counties? I'm going to pray right now. I'm just going to invite you to join me in prayer. Father, we pray in Jesus' name and by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for leading us into this journey of planting Real Life Sango. Lord, this church plant is yours. Everything about it belongs to you. It is not ours. We are your servants. And Lord, we pray that you would use this little movement to touch surrounding counties in addition to Montgomery County. Father, we pray that people would come to know Jesus. They would have their lives transformed from the inside out. Father, we pray that prodigals would run home. Those that grew up walking with you, but for whatever reason, they've been distant from you for years. Lord, we pray that you would use Real Life Sango to welcome them back home, Lord, into real, authentic family. Lord, that they could leave their past and their shame and their guilt behind and realize that it's nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, use this church and, Father, help us to serve, Lord, with all of our heart to that end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk real briefly today. Maybe you're driving down the road. Maybe you're getting ready for work. Maybe you're just laying in bed and you're bored, or I don't know how you got dialed into the podcast today. Maybe you just clicked on a Facebook link and you found us and you're listening. And I want to talk just real briefly about one of our values at Real Life Sango. One of our values is truth in the context of relationships. So truth in relationships is how we talk about it. And so let me talk about relationships first. I think most people appreciate this as a value because they see the value of relationships. Whether you're a Christian or not, people can understand the value of relationships, how we need people in our lives, how relationships can be a great source of joy and happiness for us. But the reality is that relationships are the way of Jesus. And the vision that God has for each one of our lives individually is a vision that is to be lived out in the context of relationships. In other words, God wants us to be fully known and fully loved by other people. And he wants us to be in relationships where we're fully knowing and fully loving other people. And so a value, when you talk about a value is the manner in which we go about our ministry. How are we going to get it done? What's our church going to be characterized by? What's our ministry going to be characterized by? And truth in relationships is what we're saying. We aspire for our church to be shaped by that value. And so what that means is we desire to be a radically relational church. Let me say just a little more about this. When you open up the New Testament and you begin to read through the Bible, what you see is the majority of the New Testament letters are written to communities. They're written to churches. They're written to groups of people. You just read the New Testament. You see this time and time and time again. Every now and then you've got Paul writing to Timothy, but usually you've got letters that are written to groups of people, and the letters are intended to be read in the context of a community, and lived out and applied in the context of a community. So this idea that we've popularized in the West of our own individual relationship with God, it's not altogether a bad idea. But if we don't come around and say, yes, we each need to have a personal relationship with Jesus, but we don't come back around and say, but our life should be chiefly characterized by the fact that we're living in community, where we're known and loved and held accountable, then we're missing it. We're missing it. So I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul is trying to describe what the church is to be like and what individual Christians are to live like. And he uses this imagery. He paints in pictures, and he uses the imagery of a body, like a real body with like a nose and eyes and ears and hands. And basically, Paul's argument in using that image of a body is just simply saying, you know, every part of the body needs the other part of the body if it's going to function. If it's going to function. So when God adopted us in Jesus Christ into His family, He invited us into a family where we have brothers and sisters. God is our Father. Indeed, Jesus becomes our brother. But He adopts us into a family as part of our identity. Now, we seek to find our identity in all kinds of other places, right? Like our work and all these things, you know, what teams we're fans of or our successes. And we try to come up with our identity in that way. But one of the ways God wants us to rest is by resting in the fact that our identity is that we are a member of the family of God. And we're to live in the context of relationships. So I've talked about the New Testament, but you really don't even have to just stay in the New Testament. You can go back to the Old Testament and you see God had a people for Himself. That people was Israel, God's chosen people, Israel. And you can go back even further and you can see that the first crisis of humanity was Adam, not his sin, but his aloneness. So, you know, when you think about the first crisis of humanity, most of us immediately think, well, that was sin, right? That was when the serpent came in and tempted Adam and Eve, and they fell. And that was a crisis, the first crisis of humanity. But the real first crisis of humanity was that Adam was alone, and God said, it's not good for man to be alone. The Proverbs talk about us, when we isolate ourselves, we lash out against all sound judgment. And so God's desire for us is to live in community in the context of relationships, to not be alone. Let me take one more step toward a theological argument as to why one of our values is truth in relationships. You think about God Himself, and you think about God existing before He created the world. And God existed in community before the world began. God existed as Father, Son, and Spirit. One God, three persons. That's a mystery. The Trinity is a mystery. It causes us to worship God. We're in awe that God exists as a Trinitarian God. But don't miss this. God has existed throughout eternity as a community. Father, Son, Spirit. One God, but living in fellowship within the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And so we have been created in the image of God to reflect the character of God. And one of the ways we reflect the character of God is by living in community, just as the Father has lived in community with the Son, just as the Son has lived in community with the Spirit and the Spirit with the Father. It's a beautiful thing when you catch this vision. So truth in the context of relationships. So I've spent a lot of time talking about relationships, let's talk about the truth. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Later in the Gospels, Jesus is talking about God's Word, the sacred Scriptures, and he prays to the Father. He says, Father, Your Word is truth. Sanctify them by Your truth. Mold them into the image of Christ. Mold their character by Your truth. And so, at Real Life Sango, when we say that our value, one of our values is truth in the context of relationship, one of the things we're saying is, man, we don't want to just preach the truth. We don't want to just preach the truth. We want to build the kinds of relationships that can hold the weight of truth. But we want to be committed to speaking the truth in love to one another. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, speak the truth in love to one another. So there you have truth in relationships. It's speak the truth in love. That's in the context of the relationship. And so, so some churches are really, really, really heavy on speaking truth, preaching truth, and that's the drum that they're beating. And the relationships might feel, they might feel harsh. They might feel legalistic. They might feel like you've got to do all these things to be accepted. Anyways, they just lean heavily on the truth. Other churches might find themselves leaning heavily toward relationships, but going soft on the truth, where everybody's accepted, and it doesn't matter how you're living. Everybody's just going to be accepted here. And the reality is that within the Church of Jesus Christ, everyone should be welcome. But we should speak the truth and love to one another, where we can find grace from Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit begins to mold us into the image of Jesus. And part of the way He does that is by the truth of God's Word. Us reading it, hearing it preached and taught, and then having it spoken to us through others, having that word shared with us in love, and that truth transforming us. So we desire to see people devouring God's word, reading God's word, feasting on God's word, and that truth transforming their lives. This is a value for us. Truth in relationships. So we want to build the kind of weight, we want to build the kind of relationships, rather, that can hold the weight of truth. This is one of our values. You'll hear more and more about this. If you're a part of Real Life Sango, pray that we embody this. Pray that we live this out. Pray that this is who we become, a church that is marked and shaped and committed to truth in the context of relationships. And if you're listening to this today and you're considering visiting, just know this is what we're aspiring to. We won't be perfect at it, but this is our goal, that we would be a church that is shaped by and characterized by truth in the context of relationships. Truth in relationships, it is our ministry philosophy. It's not just a value. Truth in relationships is our ministry philosophy. So we hope you join us real soon at Real Life Sango, Sundays, 9 a.m., Carmel Elementary School. Everyone is welcome. No one leaves the same. God bless you. We'll talk to you later here in the Real Life Sango podcast.